This audio presentation is the teaching of Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Flip the Script, was delivered on August 1st, 2021. Here now is Jen.
Flip the script. Ooh, this ought to be interesting. All yours. Thank you.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, so I know you must have noticed that my husband isn't here today. And and I know that you all must be thinking that this is the perfect opportunity for rip him and throw him under the bus. But I'm not going to do that today. Not today, anyway. You see, our message this morning is entitled Flip the Script, which simply means to change the way we think about something or to do something that's unexpected. In keeping with that thought, James isn't here because I told him not to be here. Not because we beefing or I kick him out or his man card is still totally intact, just so you know. You see, my husband is, he's an amazing man. He works 6 days a week. And he comes home every day, makes sure that he has dinner cooked and on the table, that we're all safe at home and well taken care of. After all of that, he then goes on to work some more, doing whatever else he's gonna do. All throughout that, he makes sure that he has enough time to spend with his family. And you all know how much he loves to go fishing, so a couple of weeks ago, he was offered the opportunity to go and fish at this spot that he really likes to fish at. And he was like super excited to go, and then he realized that I would be speaking at church the same weekend that this was supposed to happen. So without hesitation, he was like, no, not going, I'm gonna call him, I'm gonna cancel, and I wasn't about to let that happen. You see, I am so very appreciative of all that he is and all that he does for all of us, so I had to literally convince him not to cancel, and I demanded that he go fishing. He does so much for all of us, and so he knows this, but I will never say that he cannot go fishing because he deserves that and so much more. I do, however, have no problem whatsoever saying that he can go Tokunaga and buy unnecessary things because he had his own Tokunaga at home, I swear. There's stuff everywhere. So, several months ago, I was at work, and not very many stations catch on the little radio that I have in my office. And most days I usually have K-Love or some kind of worship music streaming from my phone. And this one particular morning I had a reading of the Bible playing on my earbud. And so we'll backtrack a little bit. About a year ago I lost most of the hearing in my right ear. And so I usually have my earbud in my left ear. So while I'm listening, I see my office phone is ringing. So I take the earbud out, I pause the feed, I help the caller, and while I'm helping the caller, I have this mirror right behind my phone. So there's a walkway behind me, so I put the mirror there so I don't get scared every time somebody walks past, I can kind of see them coming. So while I'm on the phone, I catch a glimpse of my hairline in the mirror, and I'm thinking, oh boy, that's the white hair is coming in hot. So I go to my notepad and write on big note, Walmart, hair dye. Okay, so I'm sitting there, I finish helping the caller, hang up the phone, I press play, and normally when you pause something, when you press play again, it picks up right where you left off and it keeps going. But this morning, it went back a little bit, and it reread, I was in the book of Romans that morning, and it reread Romans 12:2, which I had just finished reading. And that is my ultimate favorite scripture. It's a scripture that I use for everything in my life. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be renewed. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. So, okay, I know that God is trying to tell me something because I've now heard this scripture twice in the last, 2 minutes. So it keeps playing, but I'm focusing on this one scripture. And while I'm thinking about it, I catch another glimpse of the white hair. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know what you're telling me. It made me start to think about why I started dyeing my hair. and when I started dyeing. Now, I started dyeing my hair when I was about 13, 14 years old. So that was some time ago. We're not going to go there. But I started, yes. I started dyeing my hair because why? A teenager. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be part of that in crowd. And it was because that's what everybody was doing at the time. And as I got older, you know, the styles changed, so did my hair. And it continued to be that way until the white started coming in, and then it was a new reason, because I had to cover up the white, because I wasn't ready to be old yet. And, well, to look old anyway, I'm not old. I'm a new creation. Okay, so this particular day, I looked at my hair and I said, what am I doing? And I don't have no problem with anybody dyeing their hair. I used to love to dye my hair. But in this moment, I felt that God was telling me that I didn't need to do this anymore. And by doing that, I was conforming to the way the world saw me. And that is not what I wanted. I wanted to see him. I wanted the world to see him in me. And dyeing my hair was just covering up what he created me to be. So, went home that day, told my husband, I'm not dyeing my hair anymore. And he said, oh, so you're finally going to listen to me after, what, 10 years I've been telling you to stop dyeing your hair. I said, no. I'm going to listen to God, though. So this morning, I want us to train our brains to think of things in a new way. Take things that we've seen or we've heard a million times and know what they are, and teach ourselves to think of them in another way. So your first point this morning, and I know when you read the first three words of your point, you're gonna hear that jingle playing in your head. It's not like a good neighbor State Farm is there. Although, thank you very much, Rob, because you guys are always there. Might take a little long, but you guys are always there, just letting you know. Deuteronomy 1:31 says, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. I want you to think about when you were little, when you had a nightmare, or when you fell down and you got hurt and you were afraid or you were crying. You know, no, okay, wait. If you grew up in Hawaii, this next part might not be true to you, because normally, if your mom and dad is off to the side, you fell down and got hurt, what is the first thing they said? Good for you. Go, do them again. Climb the tree again. Go, Alexi. So, if you think about it, grandma and papa was different, though. If you fell down, you skinned your knee, you woke up in the middle of the night crying because you had a bad nightmare, what would they do? They would run to you. They would grab you. They would hold you. They would comfort you, they would kiss your tears away, and all the while they would be saying, shh, I'm here, don't worry, I got you, it's all Paul, it's all over. This is the way that we should be thinking about God. Because no matter what happens in our life, he's always there. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is the God that we serve. You see, we didn't do anything to make God love us. He loved us before we ever even existed. So no matter where you are in your walk with him right now, whether you're at your highest of highs or lowest of lows, no matter how dark it might seem right now, or how bad things may be, it doesn't matter how deep of a valley you're in or how big of a mistake that you think you might have just made. God wants us to know that he will always be there for us and that we are loved, and we have no reason to think that we could ever do anything that would make him stop loving us. And if he is right there for us at all times, then who could be against us? Amen? Amen. Your second point this morning, although you may be in great hands with Allstate, you're even in greater hands with God. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. So about a month ago, I took Genesis for her checkup with the oncologist, and after receiving the greatest, most relieving news that our child was now cancer-free, yes. I was then blindsided with what to me was this gut-wrenching news that she was now being invited to an all-expenses-paid week-long trip to Camp Anuinui, which is a childhood cancer camp in Oahu. Now I know you must be thinking, why was it gut-wrenching, since that sounds pretty amazing, right? Well, except for the few weeks she spent in the NICU because of being born 2 months early, I have never been away from Genesis in all 15 years of her life so far. Sure, she's had sleepovers at grandma's and at pastor's house, but she's never really been away from me without a family member or a close friend being present. Even in school, brother and sister was always there. And if for some reason they couldn't be there, there was a carefully selected EA that I made sure I checked out to be with her at all times. So to think that she would not only be away from me for a whole week, but she would also have to fly to Oahu by herself for the first time, that was, yeah, very gut-wrenching. So as I sat there and the doctor continued to explain all these wonderful things that she would get to do at camp that week, the smile on her face and the excitement in her eyes just kept growing and growing and growing, and the knots in my stomach kept tightening and tightening and tightening. And as I looked at her, all I could see was this perfect joy and this perfect peace on her face. And all I could hear was my heart beating 1,000 miles a minute in my ear. So she left last Sunday after church. And as her plane took off, I continually prayed for her safety and for her to enjoy herself and make memories and just share God's light with everyone there. As nervous and as scared as I was watching her fly away that day, I had to remind myself of whose I was and whose she was and what a mighty God he is. I ultimately, after some tears, found comfort and peace in those words. Do not fear. I will help you. And that he did. He helped me by giving me peace. Now, I didn't get to talk to her the entire week she was there. You better believe I stalked the camp Instagram feed every minute of every day just to see if there were any pictures of her so that I knew that she was okay. Now, I was ready. I was ready because God teaches us to be prepared. So I had checked how much vacation time I had. I had checked how much Hawaiian miles I had. I had checked how much money I had in the account, because at the drop of a hat, I would be on that plane to go and help my baby. But I didn't need to. And she's perfectly fine. She flew back yesterday. So midway through the week, we were alerted to the potential of a tsunami happening. Genesis camp, well, the cabins of her camp is situated on the shore at Mokuli'ia in the north shore of Oahu. So now I know, you bet I freaked out, right? I didn't. Because I had prayed for peace. I fell asleep right after hearing that, and I had the most peaceful sleep that I have had in a long time. Because you see, Romans 8:38 to 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So again, who am I to stand in his way? God loves us and he wants nothing but the best for us. Now I knew that she was protected and surrounded with his love and his grace and mercy and peace. So therefore, so was I. Your last point this morning is not only Progressive gives you the option to name your price. Instead, it's only God gives you the choice to save your soul. Romans 10:9 says, I, along with many of you, at one point in our lives, made such a choice. And, oh, sorry, Romans 10:9 says, I was like, something's missing. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, I, along with many of you, at one point in our lives, made such a choice. A public declaration that meant that we were living for Jesus and declaring him as our Lord and Savior of our lives. Sure, choosing to follow Jesus and walk in the way he calls us to won't always be easy. I can pretty much guarantee you the trials and the tribulations will surely come. But when they do, welcome them. Because it is in that instance, that moment, that season, that valley, that is where you will grow. You see, God isn't interested in our comfort. He's interested in our character. God wants nothing but the best for us. He wants us to grow and to mature in every facet of our life. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, with that being said, I want to give you all an opportunity to welcome our Heavenly Father into your heart and lives, and I want to pray with you. So if you'll bow your heads, close your eyes, and open your hearts and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, and make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you've said that prayer for the first time, please raise your hand. Father, we see the hands. And I just want to go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. Father, I ask that you bless those who have raised their hands, Father, as if saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Remake me. Make me the person that you want me to be. Father, I ask that you lead them and you guide them as you will all of us, Father. I ask that you be Lord and Savior over our lives and you continue to bless us in every way you see fit. I ask these things in your most precious name, Father. Amen.
Oh, Jen, thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful message. I so much more appreciate your husband right now. And just so you know, my brother is 54 years old, not one white hair. I've had white hair since I was 18. It's all cool. But thank you. Flipping the script. How's that? Well, this morning, before we wrap it up in worship, we are going to take communion. So if you did not get your communion cups, vessels, anybody did not get theirs, over on the table in the box over there, you want to go grab that right now. And what communion is really all about is that God did flip the script. He flipped the script on life and death. He flipped the script on the way that the world thinks. And I thought Jen said something so profound, that God wants nothing but the best for each and every one of us. And that's what communion is really all about, is that God gave his one and only Son, laid him down for our sins, to pay the price for our sins, so that we could spend eternity with him. It wasn't free, although we think it's free. Jesus Christ paid that price. And I'm not going to go into detail, but if you'll go ahead and read, he really, really did suffer so that we could have eternal life. And that's what God is asking us to remember right now.
That's what communion is all about, is that we take this moment to stop everything, all the thoughts that we have, all the things that we think are important, and to focus on the one thing that is, that God wants nothing but the best for us. Amen. Would you take your communion cups with me? And just for future reference, you want to make sure sometime during the service, before we get going, you peel off that thin layer of plastic at the top first, so that it'll take a long time when we're ready for communion. But this wafer, of course, is a representation of Jesus' body that was broken for us. And in a moment, as we take and eat of this, as you swallow down, just remember the price that was paid. How Jesus Christ flipped the script on death for each and every one of us. It says on that night that he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread and he broke it and he passed it out. And he said, "This is my body as broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." You go ahead and take of the bread. And then it says that he took the cup and he says, "This is my blood shed for the price, the ransom of your sins." Go ahead and drink of the cup. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being the God who loves his people. Thank you for wanting nothing but the best for us. And the best is this, that we get to spend eternity with you. Aside from that, Lord, nothing else matters. So, Father, help us to remember the price that was paid for that. Not just right now, but in everything that we do and every moment that we have breath. We pray your will be done in our lives. Again, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Woo. Communion, what a beautiful thing. We get to take part. Two becoming one. Two becoming a greater one. That we are always joined together. Like a marriage, you know, he is preparing us as his bride to present to himself, you know, holy and without blemish. And that's where we find communion. It's in the remembering how much we are truly loved by our God. So let us rise for our last song of worship. What a great message.
Whew. Thank you, Jen.
We want to get sent off again with the singing about the greatness of our God. Great are you, Lord.
You've been listening to Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-5000. 6651 or visit www.newhopeeastawaii.com.